So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, a description of Jambudvip. And this is text number 22. And it's also in prose. Yastu maha kadamba suparsva nirudho yas tasya katye rabhyo Avini Hristak Panchabhyama Parinaha Panchamadhu Dhara Suparsva Sikarat Patantyo Parinatmanam Ilavritam Anu Modha Yanti. Please repeat. Yeah. Which two but Mahakadamba, the tree named Mahakadamba, Susparshva, Nirudha, which stands on the side of the mountain known as Suparshva. Yeah. Which tasya of that katarebhya from the hollows vinihrista flowing pancha five ayama vyama a unit of measurement of about 8 feet Parinabha, whose measurement? Pancha, five. Murudhara, flows of honey. Suparshva Sikarat, from the top of Suparshva mountain. Patantya, flowing down. Aparena, on the western side of the Sumeru mountain. Atmanam, the whole of. Ilavritam, Ilavritavarsh. Anumodayanti, make fragrant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's again a very small purport, so we'll probably go on to the next verse after this. On the side of Suparshva mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the hollows of this tree flow the 5 rivers of honey, each about 5 yamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Suparshva mountain and flows all around Ilavritavarsh. Imagine swimming in a river of honey. You probably, well, actually, you might sink. You know, I guess maybe kind of like, maybe might be like quicksand or something. Beginning from the western side, thus the whole land is saturated with the pleasing fragrance. Most likely of honey. Purport. The distance between one hand and another when one spreads both his arms is called a vyama. So I guess that's a vyama right there. This comes to about 8 feet. Thus each of the rivers was about 40 feet wide. 40 feet wide. 5 of them. And they're all flowing with honey. Wow, that'd be pretty interesting sight, huh? Making a total of about 200 feet. Lots of honey. So this is the next verse, 23. The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around. 100 yojanas, That's 800 miles. Whew. Text number 24. Similarly, on Kumudha Mountain, there is a great banyan tree, which is called Satavausha, because it has 100 main branches. From those branches come many roots, from which many rivers are flowing. Rivers are flowing from roots. It's getting more and more interesting here. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Elavatavars for the benefit of those who live there. This planet also used to be called Elavatavars before it was called Bharatvars. It was called Elavatavars. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supply of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, molasses, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are very happy. Purport. The prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demoniac civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. The products of nature are sufficient. When there is a profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghee, molasses, dhotis, saris, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. When a profuse supply of water from the river inundates the land, all these things can be produced, and there will be no scarcity. This all depends, however, on the performance of sacrifice, as described in the Vedic literature. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanya anasambhava yagya bhavati parjanya yagya karma samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. These are the prescriptions given in Bhagavad Gita 3.14. If people follow these principles in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous and they will be happy both in this life and in the next. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Bukam Kutvachalam Pungunlung Hayate Gurim Yat Kripata Raham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kaputubhyascha Kripa Sanjivye Vacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna explains about an imperishable banyan tree, Urdhva Mulam Adashaka Ashvatam Praravya. He says that there's an imperishable banyan tree with its roots up and its branches down. And the leaves of this banyan tree are the Vedic hymns. And one who knows this tree knows the conclusion of the Vedas. So this Prabhupada mentions in the purport to this verse that the purpose of the Vedas is to cut down this reflected tree. So generally we don't see a tree with the roots up. Right? Roots are down. Right? But if you see the reflection on a river of a tree, then the roots, and then you see the roots, if they're sticking out, you see the roots are going up and the branches are going down. So this material world, it's a reflection of the real world, the spiritual world. And a few verses later, Krishna explains that one must learn how to cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. But he says that this is an imperishable tree, so you can't cut it down. The material world is always here. And this banyan tree is compared to the material world. We can't cut it down, actually, but we can cut our way through to escape. It's like sometimes, actually, there was an instance of Madhavendra Puri, who had a dream, and the dream was that the deity, what was the name of the deity? Was in the forest. He was in the forest, and he said, I'm very hot here. Gopal. So please come, take me out, and worship me. So he was in ecstasy upon, you know, having this dream. And he told the village people, everybody get machetes, we have to cut through the forest. So they didn't cut down the forest, but they cut through with machetes, and they got through, and they found this deity, big deity. And they brought him, they worshipped him, built a temple for him. So similarly, we can't cut down this forest of material existence, or this banyan tree, but we can cut through it with detachment. Now, this is interesting, this with a weapon of detachment. I mean, generally, you could see a weapon, right? Practically always, you see a weapon. You don't see this weapon, though. The weapon of detachment. And also it's mentioned in a couple of verses later. Krishna says that this real form of this tree cannot be perceived. You can't see the foundation, or you can't see where it begins or where it ends. So it's also kind of like a subtle tree, you know, that we're entangled with. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. These are all subtle contaminations. And the way these subtle contaminations are destroyed is by this subtle weapon of detachment. So then Krishna goes on to say that with determination, one has to cut down this tree with detachment. So one has to be very determined. Just like that, a nice example in Krishna Lila, where Krishna, he had done something naughty. He had broken the pot of yogurt, and he was eating it, and then he saw that his mother is going to come, so he took off. His mother's following. She's got a stick. And she catches him, and he's fearful. And she thought, oh, I don't want him to be afraid of me, so she threw the stick away. But I'm going to punish you. Anyway, you're going to be punished for your naughty business. So she concluded that she would tie him up. So she got this rope, and she's trying to tie him up. It's too short. Rope is too short. She got some more rope. It's too short. Two fingers, too short. She gets more rope, still two fingers too short. Gets more rope, still two fingers too short. And she's thinking, what is this? How is this possible? And now the gopis, they're also watching this. And then they said to Madhya Yasoda, can't you see? Your boy is a little different. Yeah? Can't you see that? You can't tie him up. You've gotten so much rope, you still can't tie him up. Can't you see? You're not going to be able to do it. And then she had determination. No, no. He's done wrong. I'm going to punish him. I'm going to tie him up. Even if I have to get all the rope in Vrindavan, I'm going to tie him up. So then Krishna saw her determination. So he allowed her to tie him up. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says these two fingers represent the determination of the devotee and mercy, the mercy of Krishna. So both of these are very important. We have to be very determined. And therefore it's stated, that one cannot attain Krishna even by performing pious activities for many millions of births. But the only way that one can attain Krishna is Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamiti kriyatam yaditu tetraloyam. That one must have intense desire, and this is compared to greed. One must be very, very, very enthusiastic to attain Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. And therefore, Krishna, he says also, vyavasayami kambhuvir eke hakuna. Those who are on this path, they're resolute in person, in purpose. They're fixed. However, those who are not on this path, they're many branched. Their intelligence is many branched. So Srila Prabhupada said he got a lot of inspiration from this verse. Because in the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that one must accept the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. That this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let anything get in the way. Therefore, Prabhupada, sometimes he would be in trying situations, difficult situations. But he would say, I'm not a man to be discouraged easily. So he had great determination to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So, a few verses after this verse, Urdhva Mula Madhashaka, Krishna explains how to escape from this material world. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritti kama dvandvarv mukta sukaduka sangir gachanchimura param avyam tai. So again, these are a lot of subtle enemies are here. First, nirmana is this false ego. One who is free of false ego. This being free of false ego is a big challenge. Because we've had these material bodies for so long, and always there's this misunderstanding of who we are. False ego. False identity. Ego means identity. So there's a false identity that I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm American, I'm Slovenian, I'm Russian, I'm Bosnian, I'm Serbian, I'm Russian. So many illusions. So Rupa Goswami, he says that by rendering devotional service, one becomes purified of these designations. By rendering service to Krishna, one becomes purified of this contamination. I was just reading a purport. Prabhupada said, one is free, one becomes free of the filth of material contamination by rendering devotional service to Krishna. This contamination, it's filthy. Actually, it's horrible. Yeah. So naturally, when you, it's like, imagine if you're walking down the street and for instance, unfortunately, some bird, drops his dropping on you. You get some stool on you. Immediately, you're just like, where's water? Where's water? You want to get this filthy stuff off you, right? immediately. Just get water, get it off. So these material desires are like that. It's just filthy. So an intelligent person wants to get free of this filth. And this cleansing process is this hearing and chanting. Just like there's water purifiers, there's air purifiers, there's also consciousness purifiers. And this Hare Krishna mantra is a consciousness purifier. This hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, associating with the devotees, this is all consciousness purifying. We get purified from this contact with Krishna in these different ways. So nirmana, moha, illusion. This is similar to this false ego. There's so much illusion. And the example is given. An animal in the desert or on the boundaries of the desert, he's looking for water. And it looks like there's water there. It's reflecting off the sun. It looks like there's water there. And he goes after the water. Just like also when we're driving down the street, the sun's pounding on the pavement. It looks like water. It looks like there's water there. In the desert also. So the animal sees this reflection of the sun. And he's just running after this water. He keeps running. He keeps running. He's thinking that it's just right there, just in front of me. And he keeps running. And he dies. He dies of thirst. So it's an illusion. Or the rope that appears like a snake. It looks like it's kind of dark, and it looks like it might be a rope, but it's a snake. So you become fearful. Yeah. There's no snake there. You think it is, but you become fearful. So this is an illusion because of our imperfect senses. So there's a lot of illusion in this material world. The major illusion is thinking that we're this body. Prabhupada gives an example, interesting example. He said, just like these glasses here, they don't see. The eyes are seen through the glasses. But you take it a step further, and actually the eyes aren't seen either. But it's the soul seen through the eyes. Right? Because if the soul leaves the body, can the eyes see? No. No, the eyes can't see without the soul's existence in the body. Nor can we hear, nor can we speak. We can't do anything. It's because of the existence of the soul within the body that we're able to do anything. So, this is who we are. We're the very, very, very small soul, 1/10,000th tip of a hair, soul within this body. And we're part of Krishna. And it's natural, actually, for a part to render service to the whole, just like this finger. This finger renders so much service for my body throughout the day, right? Naturally, because it's part. But if the Jai Sri Pancha Tattva, but if my finger becomes diseased, then it can't render service to the whole like it did before. And not only that, but it becomes problematic for the whole body. I have to be careful. You know, I have to, because if you bump it against something, then it causes more pain and takes longer for it to heal. So you have to be very careful when the finger is diseased. So we're diseased in this material world. And Prabhupada says in one purport that the antiseptic potency of devotional service is so powerful that it can neutralize the infection of the devotee even within this very life. we can become pure devotees within this very life because of the power of this antiseptic potency of devotional service. Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikilasvapivasasu jivan apimatovasita. That anybody who engages his mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna, he can become purified even within this very lifetime. This is how powerful devotional service is. Prabhupada gave a nice example of just like when we were all children, we had piggy banks. Did you have piggy banks here also when you were children? You know, we put our little coins in there, and then gradually it gets bigger and bigger, and then we figure when we want something, we got some money there. Yeah. So Prabhupada said that everything you do in the service of Krishna, you're increasing your bank account, your transcendental bank account. Yeah. So we just have to keep filling it up every day, doing more and more service. And it's building up. Our transcendental piggy bank is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Bank account, transcendental bank account is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So we just have to steadily keep doing service for Krishna. And then, at the end of our life, Krishna's going to say, Oh, such a big account. Very good. All right, come on. Come back home. So we have to keep on doing this service for Krishna. And we'll get purified. And we'll go home. Back to Godhead. This is the whole purpose of life. Just like recently I've been distributing books, and I tell people as I'm speaking to them that, you know, the purpose of life is not just to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, make some money, and then die. Right? And then, yeah, that's right. So I tell them the goal of life is to inquire why we're here, what happens at the time of death. What's the goal of life? So this book explains these things. Okay. A lot of people are taking. So that's what this knowledge gives. An understanding of why we're here. How to get purified. And go back to Godhead. So here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions this very important verse. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anabhasambhavaha. That without rain, we can't live. Actually, everything on the planet would die if rain stopped. So we're very, very dependent on rain. And rain comes from sacrifice. So sacrifice is very important. And therefore, Krishna says, also in the Bhagavad Gita, yagyarthat karmanodyata, lokoyam karma. That work done as a sacrifice unto Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, one's work will bind one to this material world. So if we're working for Krishna, we're becoming free of the bondage. But if we're working for our own sense gratification to increase our material desires, then we have to stay. We're bound to this material world. I heard an interesting story recently of one lady whose father was very ill and looked like he was going to leave his body. He had some attachment to his daughter. She's a devotee. So she flew back to America, and she's taking care of him. And she hears him shouting, "Untie me! Untie me! Take these ropes off me! Get these dogs away from me! What is all this? You know?" And she couldn't figure it out. And then she figured out it was the Yamadutas. And then he saw his daughter, and he said, tell this ugly lady, to untie me, let me go. It wasn't, see, usually we hear Yamadutas, but this is a Yamadutini. You know, wherever there's a man, there's a woman also. So I didn't know that. Tell this ugly lady, untie me. She tied me up. I'm bound. So we don't want to be bound. Nobody wants to be bound, but we're subtly bound by our attachments. So fortunately, we've come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, the lotus feet of Panchatattva. So now we're learning how to escape, how to become free of this bondage and go back to Godhead. So we should take advantage of this. We're very, very, very fortunate. So Krishna, he goes on to say in this third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's about yajna. Saha yajna prajashvishta. He says that the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Lord Vishnu and blessed him, saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and attaining liberation." So this yajna is very, very important. Yeah. Sacrifice. Yeah. You know, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is the sacrifice in this age. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam Sangopangas Taparsadam. That intelligent persons in this age will worship the personality of Godhead, who is always chanting the holy names of Krishna. Although he is not blackish, he's Krishna himself, and he's come with his confidential devotees and servants. So that incarnation is Lord Chaitanya, and he's come with this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So by this chanting, we get purified. By this hearing of the Vedic literatures, we get purified. By association with the devotees, we get purified. So this is a yajna. And there's a very interesting verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, tapyante lokatapena salavapraya sojana, that it's very, very common for devotees of the Lord to accept voluntary austerity to relieve the suffering of the people in general, to go out of their way to help the people become free of their suffering. And this is considered to be the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no higher way of worshiping the Panchatattva than to go out and give people this knowledge, give people the holy name. People get purified by the holy name. And people even become devotees. As I was coming down here from Zagreb, I was with a couple of devotees. Vaikuntha Murthy, is that his name? And what's the famous cook's name? Huh? Samrudra Sena. So I asked him, as I usually do when I'm with devotees, how did you join? And both of them came from Harinam. Harinam. I was impressed. Yeah. So people are impressed when they see the holy name, or they see the devotees chanting the holy name. It's very attractive. Yeah. I mean, we're the only people in the world that go out to the public as a group, singing and dancing. Can you think of anybody else? We're the only ones. In Miami, there was a survey. We did a survey to find out what the people liked the most about the Hare Krishnas. We called 100 people, just at random. And without any question, it was the Hare Nam. People liked when they saw us out there singing and dancing. It's like a lift, you know. It's something that you don't see, except from the Hare Krishnas. So it's a very auspicious thing to give people the holy name, to give people Prabhupada's books, to give prasadam. It's very auspicious. People get purified by all these things. And our whole mission, sarvasukhi bhavantu, that our mission statement is to find that everyone becomes happy. What a nice mission, huh? Our mission is to help everyone become happy. Of course, it's not going to happen, but it's still a nice mission. We're shooting for the rhino, yeah? To help everyone become happy. Now, we do have the formula. This is the formula for becoming happy. Some people will take it, and they'll become happy. Many people won't. Most people won't, because it's the age of Kali, and ignorance and passion are very, very prominent. So, but some people are becoming happy, just like all of you here and so many devotees around the world that become happy by practicing Krishna consciousness. So on that note, is there any question? Comment? Yes. Yes. Oh, the verse that's tapyante lokatapena sadavo prayasojana. Yeah. It's a nice verse. Huh? This is very natural, very common for devotees to accept this voluntary austerity to help people. Fortunately, there's devotees like that. If there wasn't devotees like that, we would be out in the material world still, struggling like anything, you know, trying to enjoy this illusion. So we should feel very grateful for the devotees that went out of their way to help us and try to help others. Okay? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can be better. Actually, this is called Maya Sukhaya. There is some happiness in this material world, but it's like a drop. It's nothing. We want an ocean of happiness. But they're experiencing a very small drop, not a big drop, a small drop of happiness. So therefore, it's actually a blessing in disguise when people actually realize, I'm not happy. So, yeah, just like if you want a nice, juicy mango from a mango tree, and the mango is green on the tree, then what do? You leave it on the tree. And eventually it's going to ripen. It's going to become a juicy, nice, sweet mango. Right? But if you pick the mango while it's green, then all you could make is maybe some chutney. You're not going to have a nice, juicy mango. So if it's not ripe, you leave it alone. So there's a lot of people that we approach that aren't ripe. They're green. They're thinking everything's good. I'm happy. They're green. They're not ready. Don't tell them you're not happy, because they'll just that would just become defensive. Who are you to tell me I'm not happy? You don't know me. Like I approached one person, he said, no, I'm good. And I said, but you can be better. He said, no, I'm as good as I could possibly be right now. He got angry. So he wasn't good. False ego came out. So they're not happy. If they knew what actual happiness was, they would admit, I'm not happy. But they're experiencing some maya sukaya, some illusory happiness. So we have to tell them, by giving these books, what is real happiness. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, when we're engaged in devotional service, we should be very enthusiastic, very determined, and at the same time, patient. If we're also patient, this is the mode of goodness. If we're just determined and enthusiastic, without patience, this is passion. We have to be also very, utsaha nishtiya darya, enthusiasm, confidence, patience. Patience is very important. Unfortunately, in the West, we're not very patient, but it's an extremely important quality. I remember I was given a class at a Sunday feast once, and I was speaking about how the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. And one student said, I find this inconceivable, how the name of God and God are non-different. And I said, well, you have to be a little patient to understand this. And the student said, this word, patient, is not even in my dictionary. So this is our mood. We want it now. Come on, I've been practicing for 2 years. I'm not a pure devotee yet. The process doesn't work. No, we have to be patient. Determined, patient, enthusiastic. And Krishna will help us. So we should pray to Gadadhar Pandit. Today is his appearance day. He's a very great devotee of the Lord. So this is a good day to pray for that determination and enthusiasm and patience so that we could attain the ultimate goal, which is love for Krishna. So I think we're going to have some discussion tonight. Gadadhar Pandit. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu ki jai.